أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful, the praise, the thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him, and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds, and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqin, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yasir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ahli bayt Muhammad. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya bani Adam, qad anzalna alaykum libasan yuwari sawatikum wa rishan wa libasu taqwa dhalika khayr dhalika min ayati Allah la'allahum yadhakkarun. يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليريهما سوآتهما إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون. صدق الله العظيم. We read the Arabic so that those who understand the language, we don't have to translate for you, inshallah. And you get in bi'idhnillah ta'ala the core of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. For those of us who don't understand the Arabic, we read the Arabic, inshallah ta'ala, and forgive any mistakes, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the perfect, we are only His slaves. And inshallah ta'ala, so that you know that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed is for us to benefit. We don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His benefit. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed as huda, as guidance, we can't dictate that guidance. In other words, like Bani Israel, their objection was, it didn't come through us. This is not someone that we want to recognize. Or it came through someone that is from us, but we don't want to obey. Or it doesn't jibe with what we like. That's found throughout the Holy Quran. Like Isa alayhi salam, he was from Bani Israel, but they didn't like what he was saying. So they rejected him, because it didn't fit with what they wanted as guidance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them for that. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals something for the Muslim, as He said, we, the believers, sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. Period. You'll understand why we mention this, inshallah ta'ala, as we get into this khutbah. But that we sami'na wa ata'na. As opposed to, as He said of Bani Israel, they said, qul. They said rather, qalu, sami'na wa asayna. We hear, we disobey. We don't care what you said. Or as in another ayah of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says of them, to Musa, why don't you and your Lord go fight? We ain't got no parts of that. You and Allah, y'all go fight them people. We gonna stay right here. We'll wait for you. So is that attitude, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us to seek refuge from and ask Him, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, not those whom your wrath is upon. That's who He's talking about. Those who have that attitude, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reveals something, tawalla, they turn away. That they don't accept it. Islam does not come to cater to your desire. Islam does not come to conform to what you feel is culturally or socially or PC in terms, politically correct. Islam does not come to conform, it comes to correct culture. Period. And whoever wishes to God be guided, alhamdulillah, it's for them, their benefit. And whoever wishes to go astray, then they face Allah with what they do. Allah does not benefit from our worship. We benefit from our worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says here, Ya Bani Adam, mind you, He's talking to everybody. Ya, oh, Bani Adam. If you a human being, Adam was your daddy. Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, we have bestowed clothing upon you to cover yourselves as an adornment, as a beautification, and the clothing of righteousness, taqwa. Khayr is better. Such are among the ayah, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they may remember. O children of Adam, again, do not let shaitan deceive you like he got your parents out of paradise, stripping them of their covering, revealing their private parts to one another. Surely he and qabilahu, his soldiers among the jinn and or his tribe, see you from where you cannot see them. Surely we have made the shayateen awliya, trustees, for those who do not believe. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and say to the mu'min, the males, who believe, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, lower your gaze, and protect your private parts from illegal sexual activity. That is pure for them. Surely Allah is خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ, well informed about all that you do. وَقُلِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and say to the believing women to lower their gaze and protect their private parts from illegal sexual activity. And do not show off their adornment, their beautification, except only that which is apparent, and to draw their خُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. We'll get into these words a little bit later. خُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, over their جُيُوبِهِنَّ, and do not reveal their adornment except to the father, their husbands, their fathers, their husbands' fathers, their sons, their husband's sons, their brothers or their brother's sons, or their sister's sons, or their Muslim women, or the female servants whom their right hands possess, or the male servants who lack vigor, or small children who have no sense of the shame of sex, and let them not stamp their feet so as to reveal what they hide of their beauty. And all of you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, O believers, that you may be successful. Again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, surely I will mislead them. This is the shaytan talking. Surely I will mislead them. And surely I will arouse in them false desires. And certainly, I will order them to deface the ears of cattle. And indeed, I will compel them to change the nature created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and whoever takes وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and whoever takes shaytan as a trustee, or rather whoever entrusts himself to shaytan instead of Allah, he has surely suffered a manifest loss. Again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we go to these words, and to draw their خُمُورِهِنْ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنْ, and to draw their خُمُور. Now, these are specific words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses so that we understand exactly what He's saying. For those of us who need the facility of translation, we have to understand that, yes, this may require more explanation. But for those of us who don't, you know right away. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says this word, khumur, it is the plural of khimar. And khimar, it comes from the Arabic word that its root is khamr. And khamr, as we know, is an intoxicant. It's something that specifically it is made from fermenting the fruit, which creates, of course, an alcohol, which, of course, as we know, is an intoxicant, a libation, as they call it. Now, the reason why this word is derived here is because of the property of alcohol, not of what it is. So they share a commonality, a trait. Alcohol veils the senses. If you don't know, you should know that the chemical receptor in the brain causes and inhibits certain parts of the brain, and it causes a veil over the some motor functions. So that's why people stumble, or they can't talk straight, or they look bleary-eyed, because there has been a veil over that faculty. That's what happens in the brain. In this particular case, this khumur or khamis, or khimar rather, this khimar, not khamis, khimar, this veils, it covers, it blocks, and in this case, it blocks the sight. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is saying that this that covers, it blocking the sight, veils that which is underneath it. So this should veil, ala junubihin rather. It should cover the jayb. What is the jayb? The jayb is the gap between the breast. That is what should be covered, the jayb. And the khimar, it is worn on the head and it's long enough to cover the jayb, the breast, the bosom. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying that if they're wearing a veil, they're wearing the veil, and obviously it's on their head. Where are you going to wear the veil? Around your leg? No. The veil is worn on the top of the head. So if it's draping to cover, to block, veil, ala juyubihin, the gaps in their breasts. This is the bosom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is referring to this specifically so that it not only covers this, the chest, but the neck as well as this whole area should be covered. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. You should not be able to see through it. And you have to understand that this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is a means to protect the society, the individual, the social structure, and keep it pure. We have to understand, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, he is the knower. We aren't. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this thing we call human, it has different components. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created the human being in the best of molds. And that as a result, there is a part of us that shares in an animal nature. There is a natural animal reaction between male and female. This is biology. Period. There's no way around this. The biological design of men is such that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has created differences. The differences in the male, differences in the female. Differences in the male so much so that if a woman gives birth to a baby boy, and then later gives birth to a baby girl at different times, the milk that she has for a baby boy is twice as heavy as that for the baby girl. It weighs twice as much. The male, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, he has different composition, different anatomy. Even his veins are built like pipes in his body, whereas the veins in a woman's body is supple and softer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, as he says, قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. They have the responsibility of maintenance and they have strength. This is not to say, oh, that one is superior or inferior. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed this such. That's his design. That's something that nobody can compete with or dispute. This is what Allah has decided, period. Now, if you want to go to the surgeon and change it, that's with you. But as Allah brought you here, you got to spend money to make some differences. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this for what purpose? Because each has different roles. And those roles mean different responsibilities. And those responsibilities require different tools in order to fulfill the purpose of the design. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask the male, did you breastfeed your child? No. And he's not going to ask the female about the responsibilities of the male. Each has different roles. And each has similar appetites, but different. The natural progression of the human being is that each development comes with different appetites. The appetite for food, as we know, is a basic necessity for the human being. And it is powerful, undeniable. And science suggests that once the human being is deprived of food for 4 days, only 4 days. You don't let him eat for 4 days. No food, no water. In 4 days, fifth day he'll be an animal. He'll eat anything and anyone. Period. 4 days. No, this is a fact. It's an army, it's in the military handbook. In this quote, 4 days to animal. That's exactly what they say. You deprive a person of that amount of food and water for 4 days, they will turn into a beast and will eat their own child. That's part of the appetite. It's that strong. It's that strong. But this society, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, diminishes and downplays how powerful the appetite for sex is in the human being. Instead of warning, they excite it. Everything you see is geared or is trying to sell you something with sex. And not just you, your kids too. And so that appetite, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, left unchecked, will destroy the society. And the shaitan knows this. So he seeks to excite you through your senses, through what you smell, through what you hear, through what you see. These three, the primary things he uses. Because once he has you with one of those, you can automatically wish to what? Taste or touch. This is what the shaitan uses against us. And specifically when it comes to the attraction that Allah, in a halal way, this is his decree, he put a halal attraction between male and female. As he said, so that he would incline to her and she would incline to him. That's a natural, divine inclination for us to have attraction between each other. But the shaitan wishes to turn up the value and confound your senses and turn you into a beast. Where you just react. That you jump. So he uses whatever he can. Even this is, look at the society. Okay, you manage to control yourself in most settings. Well, now I'm going to put you something, drink something, so you get out of control. Bam! There you go. What did Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? He said, the evil of the khamr, of the alcohol, is that it excites the passions to rage and to be amorous, to want to have sex. This is hadith. And we astaghfirullah, not that we don't need hadith, but we see the facts every day. And this is a tool of the shaitan. And so, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, knowing this, knowing these things, and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us when he said that the shaitan aims to change the nature of things that Allah created. Allah created clothes. And he said, I made them to cover your shame and beautify you. So it has a dual purpose. And the shaitan comes to what? Change the nature of what Allah created. So now, instead of covering the shame, these clothes now accentuate the shame. Instead of covering the behind of a woman, what does he do? He put pink on it. Pink. Big old letters. 4 inches. Bam. So if you missed it the first time, here's some words to read. Read it. Bam. Instead of covering the private area of the woman, it's so tight that you'd be wondering, like, that must be a disease there. It doesn't look like it can even breathe. To excite the passions, to excite and change the nature of the actual clothing. The clothing is to cover it. Now it's like, they ain't got no clothes. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters. So again, instead of covering, he's exposing. And nowadays, subhanAllah, this was a normal thing for women. Yeah, you would see a woman safala walking out. Now you see these young boys. They deliberately go out and buy pants that's two sizes too big to wear a belt around their thighs with the behind out. And you got to wonder in your brain, what in the world is possessing you to do that? Who told you that was cute? I tell you who told you it was cute. A fool in prison who ain't never seen no woman in a long time. Now he want to look at you. I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. That's where that comes from. That this is it. This is prison culture. That the boys, the young boys and the men in the prison will deliberately expose their buttocks to advertise to other inmates. That's where that comes from. And so you think you hip hop looking like Lil Wayne, and then that ex-con get out, you look like Lil Jane. And you don't even know what you're doing. You think you're part of some culture. That's not Islam, brother. That's not Islam. That's not what Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do. That's not dignified. And it's definitely directly from the shaitan. Directly from the shaitan. Got you advertising out here for Qomulut, for the sodomites. And you don't even know it. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you, as I remind myself, that the shaitan was ordered to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to answer his questions. And he said to him that not a single woman leaves her home without a shaitan sitting on her rump and a shaitan sitting at her private parts. And they are there to beckon the men to look, look, look. And encourage her that when she gets the attention, call them over. And thus in doing that, she is disgraced. So dear Muslim sisters, I remind you as I remind myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this deen and revealed these things with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to educate not denigrate. educate, because how else would you know? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us. So I remind you again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, we are Muslim. We are not the soldiers of Shaitan. We are Muslim. And therefore, we hear and we obey. We are not following the fashion or the fashionistas or the fashionable. That's not our game. That's not what we're on. That is not our deen. That's not our way. That's not the sunnah of Islam. That's not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we have to amend our way. We have to amend our desires. We have to conform. We don't reform Islam. That is only that idea that this is past, that this is outdated, that this is old-fashioned. That, when it comes, when you use that in the sentence with Islam, you are soldiering for Shaitan. If that enters your mind or your heart and you feel like this is barbaric or this is this or this is that or I don't understand that. Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? Really? Well, why are you a Muslim? Are you here to dictate or are you here to be obedient? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have to understand that the science suggests, especially for our Muslim sisters, you must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put power in both creatures. The men, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's given us power and strength in the design of this body. And only a part of it is called awra. From the navel to the knees of the man, it's supposed to be covered at all times, period. Even when you go to the restroom, you should try to make sure that the least about you is exposed. That's the awra. It should be covered. It should not be seen. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made the woman awra. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, she is awra. And therefore, that means that there's power there. Yes, there's power there. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the woman is in her prime, there is power in her whole body. And that science suggests that when a beautiful woman walks up and a man sees her, the same chemical reaction that happens in a man when he goes and gets on drugs, gets high, happens then. Yeah, that's right. You get dazed. You know it. I ain't telling y'all nothing you don't know. You see somebody beautiful, astaghfirullah, you should lower your gaze. That don't happen, do it. You get dumbfounded. Oh. And it's a natural reaction. It's natural. It is. It's a natural reaction. And so therefore, the woman, she has power in that. And she has to be careful not to abuse her power. So the Muslim woman, you have to realize that, yes, I don't want to be the donkey for the devil. I don't want him to ride me through society and make me a fitna because I want attention or to be or feel beautiful. Oh, I'm sexy. Really? Subhanallah. But that's what they put in your little girls' minds. See, it's not just dangerous for the male, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. This is what is really nefarious, and we don't realize this. The woman, I'm telling the brothers this so you understand this for your daughters. You have to understand this. The woman, she wants validation of her femininity. And the little girl, when she looks at the older woman and looks at the man react to the other woman, that she has power, they look, the men are looking and the women are looking at the man like, really? She gets that kind of attention? Ooh, let me go get some war paint. Decorate my eyes, decorate my lips, wear some tight clothes, because I want that power. I I want to be validated like she's validated. That's what they want. So you have these daughters out here, and they look at these images and they look at these magazine covers, and you think that, oh, it's women looking at women. No. You have to be careful. Your daughter wants to be a soldier for the shaitan and doesn't know it. And your responsibility, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is for her to teach that young girl that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you, not the kuffar. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you and to make you a soldier with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the shaitan. And that your beauty is something to protect. That it's precious. That it's valuable. And that there is power, but to be careful with it. That's the role of us as fathers. That we have to be careful not to let our daughters get out here and get run off and dissuaded and become soldiers for shaitan. You have to keep an eye on them, dear Muslim brothers. And not a foot, an eye. That doesn't help with, you know, to be oppressive. You need wisdom. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talked about women, he mentioned daughters too. That they are created from the most crooked rib, and if you don't use wisdom, you'll break them. You have to use that wisdom with your children as well. Not just your wives. With your sisters as well. With your mothers as well. Shaitan ain't giving up on the old women. Don't think he did. Now they out here competing with these little girls. And you know it. Because again, they want what? Validation of their femininity. I'm beautiful. I want somebody to think that I'm beautiful. Nothing's necessarily wrong with that. But this society turns up the volume so much that they what? Become confused. And then become a soldier for the shaitan. May Allah protect us from that. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله ولي ولكم استغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we only have a short time left. And inshallah ta'ala, we want to be clear about the situation. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not discriminate against the women in Islam. That this is not a woman-bashing khutbah. That there is equal responsibility on both sides. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He begins these ayah about lowering the gaze, He doesn't start with the women, He starts with the men. You, men, lower your gaze. And unfortunately, the way the society is structured, if men didn't look, women wouldn't be out there doing that. Because that wouldn't be where they would be getting their attention. I recall a television show where a woman, she was in a Muslim country, and she thought, I'm going to do what I want to do. Walked out there with some shorts in the neighborhood, and all the men start stoning her. Pop, pop, pop. And she was confused. Like, you ain't in America, fool. We ain't having that. Now, unfortunately, we can't do that here, but I really wish we could. Because I think it would send the right message. That's not acceptable. That type of behavior is reprehensible. It's repugnant. And you're soldiering for the shaitan. And they were Muslims on the roofs, pouncing her with rocks. Bah, bah, bah. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. And alhamdulillah, she ran like she should have, and you know, and was crying. Hey, alhamdulillah, you got out the street though, didn't you? So again, responsibility on both sides. We cannot tell our daughters one thing and do something else. They're watching us and how we respond. That's why then they see daddy looking at, you know, somebody with pink on their behind. They say, oh, maybe that's what I should do. So you, brothers, are just as responsible. Lower your gaze and protect your private parts from illegal sexual activity. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though he did warn us and warned our women that whoever among them exposes any part of her body outside of her house to anyone other than her husband, she completely destroys her relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is found in the books of Ahmad ibn Majah and Hakam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by the women, well, what if I don't have a jilbab? And he said, any Muslim sister who has two jilbabs, she has to give the other one to a Muslim sister that doesn't have one. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again, it is clear that the Muslim woman should not lend herself to be the donkey for the devil. Period. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their jilbabs, their cloaks, over their bodies. That will be better, that they should be known and not harassed. And Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. Again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you as I remind myself that this masjid is a sanctuary, as is any masjid. It is specifically designated. Out of the whole earth that Allah made a masjid, it is special. And thus it has special requirements when we visit the masjid. When we come here, we're not coming here, we're leaving the dunya behind. We're leaving the attractions of the dunya behind. We're leaving the attraction of every sense of our being behind. And we're not coming here with the idea of sex. That's reprehensible, that's repugnant. And so therefore the Muslim woman, when you visit the masjid, and the Muslim man, when you visit the masjid, you know that is not congruent with salah. Period. What we have to understand, dear Muslim sisters, is what Aisha radiallahu anha, she said. You should be aware of this hadith. That she mentioned that in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Salatul Fajr one time, some of the Muslim women, the believing women, went to the masjid as well. And when they went, you couldn't even see them in the dark. That they were covered from head to toe. You couldn't see their hands, their faces, their feet, their nothing. She made that remark because she said, now, if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to see what the women are doing these days, he would have forbidden them to come to the masjid just as Bani Israel did with their women. You have to again understand, the women, we hear this all the time. Oh, I don't like this curtain. It's getting on my nerves. Right? It wasn't no curtain in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are absolutely right. Do you know why it wasn't a curtain at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because the women were covered from head to toe. Do you know why it wasn't a curtain in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because when they went to the masjids, all the women who were of age in their prime, they prayed at the back. back of the wall. Do you know why they prayed at the back of the wall? So that when a man came in the masjid, he wouldn't see them bent over. Do you know why that's important? So that when he comes in the masjid, the first thing that he comes in there, he doesn't see a woman bent over, which would remind him right away of sex, period. So now, you know, you complain, but you don't understand and you don't ask and you just say, oh, this ain't right. This is discriminatory. But Muslim sister, you should educate yourself before you make a criticism. Find out why. And then understand and say, inshallah ta'ala, that, okay, I get it. And also understand that what Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that if it's such, because it is, there are a lot of restrictions when the woman comes in the masjid. She can't scent herself. Why? Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, anybody smell you, you done committed fornication. Again, something you don't know, sisters. A good smelling woman is just as attractive. These men will tell you, ask your husband, ask your brother. Yeah, she smells good, it'll daze a man. It will daze him. And if you come into the masjid smelling that way, and Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said you were fornicated, it's the truth. That you put something on that man's mind that is haram. So she can't come scented. She can't come wearing a bunch of jewelry that will make noise and draw attention to herself. She should be at the back of the wall where she's not seen. She should be completely there. All of these things. And on top of that, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, guess what? It's better if you pray at home. That you get more reward at home than coming to the masjid. Why? Because those positions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us to make for the salah can be seen as something distracting. It can distract from the salah. And Allah is my witness. I have seen men when we did not have this curtain, it was sheer. Wallahi al-Azim, they would line up right at the edge. Everybody trying to get a peek. Be talking, you know, as if the curtain's not there. Be talking across the curtain. Assalamu alaikum, sister. How you doing, sister? Fishing in the bowl back there for a wife. I'm just looking for a wife. I'm telling you the truth. Y'all laughing. I'm telling you the truth. Fitna. For real. And some Muslim brothers complain like, man, you know, I didn't bring my wife here for her to be assaulted and eyed and ogled. And he's right. So, subhanAllah al-Azim, for those who want to complain about, I can't believe, you know, this is a fitna, you know, you keep the sisters out of the masjid. You know what? That's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we're following the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are trying to keep down that fitna because you don't realize what fitna you're bringing. You haven't educated yourself. Not to bash you. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Everyone has a responsibility, but you have the responsibility also, Muslim sisters, to educate yourself about what Allah requires of you. And if you get more reward by praying in your home, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, you should not pass up the ni'mah that Allah gives you. But there is no restriction from women coming to the masjid, but come with respect and understand that there are things that you may not be aware of that come into play. Respect that. Don't rail against it. Respect that. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and ask Allah, all of us ask Him for forgiveness. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are here as Muslims. And our main requirement is to follow that guidance. And the last thing that we want is for when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance that we turn back. We ask Allah as He asks us to ask Him, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدِ إِذْ حَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ وَحَابٌ. O our Lord, do not change our hearts after You have guided us. And aid us from Your mercy. Surely You are the most compassionate. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.